What's up, Centerpoint? We did it. Here we are, 28 days of prayer, and today is day 28. And so the word for today is celebration. And creating the prayer guide, I knew we were going to be landing on the day of our all-church celebration on this 28th day. And I felt like the Lord laid these words in my heart as I thought about celebration and what it means for us to be a people of prayer and to be the church. And this was the prayer that came out: for a new outpouring of the grace and goodness of God, empowering us to praise God when the path of life takes us to the mountaintop and when that same path takes us into the darkest valley. And so it calls to mind this idea that we're called to celebrate the goodness of God, whether we find ourselves on the mountain or in the valley. And as a church, I just want to thank you for help setting an example of praise, worship, and celebration in light of who God is, not just simply the circumstances that are going on in our lives. And so here we are. You know, for a long time, we anticipated that today would be our all-church celebration, but coronavirus, right? So here we are today, but no big service, no physical gathering here in the building, no potluck. And I know there's some amens rising up all around Orlando today. No potluck, but also we're not together. No picnic on the grounds, no games on the grounds. But one day we're going to be back together. One day we're going to celebrate together, and it's going to be a great day when we do. Until then, we're going to continue to gather just like this and trust that the Lord is moving through technology and that He's continuing to shape and mold our hearts into the people He's calling us to be. So I'm thankful today that our celebration of God is not dependent upon our meeting together, but it strictly depends on God's movement in our midst. And I want to tell you, God has been moving over the last year. We're going to jump into the Word here in a minute, but historically for our all-church celebration, we've spent time in conversation and testimony. And so rather than bringing a bunch of people into the building tonight, I wanted us to take a look at some things that God's been doing in our midst. And so here we go. First of all, by way of celebration, I just want to extend my thanks to my wife. My beautiful wife, Marley, is a woman of God. I love her so much. She is a support to me. She strengthens me. She challenges me. She stands in the gap for you, and she loves you. And I'm so blessed to be on this journey with her. Marley, thank you so much for loving me and supporting me along the way. But also to my girls, they put up with me through hard, difficult times, and I couldn't do it without them, both Marley and our three daughters. But also, you know, Centerpoint, we have an incredible staff here. I cannot thank them enough for the ways that they love and serve our people, love and serve our community. And we have an incredible group of board leaders, as we have had year after year after year, and they serve so diligently. They're so faithful. I want to thank all of our church board members. You know, over this last year, we've had a particular interesting time as we've been dealing with the potential sale of some property. And I've said publicly, but I want to say again today, I haven't seen a board committee or a board team put out more time, energy, and focus around a singular project than our finance team has over the last year. So very publicly, once again, I just want to say thank you to Jeff Foley, Kristen Idios, Jim Getz, and Don Myers. Over the last year, you guys have worked so diligently on behalf of your church to set us up for the future, and can't thank you enough on behalf of your congregation. Thanks for loving and serving the ways that you do. But then also to all our ministry leaders, in whatever capacity you serve this local church, thank you for making that happen. You know, we come together in the fall through our Ovations event, and that's where the staff is able to make absolute idiots of ourselves in order to say thank you. But also today, I just want to thank you, whether you're a greeter, whether you clean up after events, you're at parents' night out, you're teaching in some capacity, whatever it is you do to make it happen in and through Centerpoint, thank you for loving and serving the way you do. Let's keep it up. Well, there's some things I want us to highlight today. You know, God's continued to bring new faces and new families to Centerpoint. And along the way, though, we've had to say goodbye. We had to say goodbye to seven core families over the last year who just moved out of Orlando for job changes, and we miss them We love them. We want what's best for them. But God continues to bring new faces and new families here. Our Parents Night Out ministry is up and running. Tamika Sparrow is a rock star. She stepped up to the plate to take the leadership of Parents Night Out. And even though we average 75 to 100 kids every first Friday night of the month, there's still more families for us to be able to reach into their lives and love them with the love of Jesus. There's new leadership rising up at Centerpoint. New folks that are stepping out to make it happen. But also along the way, we still have some areas of need that we've got to see to. We're looking for key leadership, key champions in our hospitality ministry, men's ministry, women's ministry, our prime timers. And so, as we continue to go and do, we're always praying for who that next champion is to be able to step up and lead a particular area of ministry. But God's doing that. He's raising up new leaders. And we give thanks and praise to God for new life. You know, there are pregnant women right now in our congregation. The Lord is bringing about new life. And I imagine in the days ahead, there'll be some more. You know, there's a phenomenon going on right now, COVID-19 babies. It's the babies that are going to grow out of this quarantine. But we'll talk about that on a different day. You know, I could not be more excited about where we are as a staff right now. The additions that we've been able to make to the staff, not only by way of personality, but also role, to be able to welcome in new staff members. Pastor Greg is our new executive pastor. Caitlin Wood, who's providing administrative support. Carolyn Novak has accepted a different type of role for us. And Ginger Bailey, who's now our elementary childhood director. So good to have those folks around the staff table. But, you know, we celebrated the baptism of 6 individuals in this past year. And we want to continue to do that. That's part of the Great Commission, is to baptize in the name of Jesus. I want to thank every leader who is a part of a next generation ministry. I'm talking children's ministry, I'm talking youth ministry, and I'm talking Tribe College. Thank you so much. I've said you already, but Carolyn, Ginger, thanks for taking the lead in our children's ministry. Thank you for that entire team of greeters, of teachers, of small group leaders, whatever it is you do to make our children's ministry happen, thank you for stepping up to the plate. But also, Pastors Javi and Fabi, thank you for leading our youth and our Tribe College ministry. To Jeff and Vicki Foley and Shelly Miles and all the folks who gathered around them by way of mentors, if you're doing anything right now to make it happen for our teenagers and our college students, thank you for stepping up to the plate. Thank you for standing in the gap for the next generation. God's doing great things in their midst. You know, Grow continues to grow under the leadership of Caroline Till and Kathy Davis. Thank you, ladies, for leading and guiding that ministry. Incredible discipleship opportunities through our Sunday school classes, different groups, community groups that meet, Bible studies that meet, also our Wednesday night electives. If you've had anything to do with the effectiveness of those ministries in the last year, thank you. I think about our mission trips and those who led them to Costa Rica last year, to Orlando last year, to Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. If you were a part of those trips, thanks for making that investment and opening your life up to what God has for you. And there's a lot of stuff unaltered happened last year. We had incredible upward seasons. Stephanie De La Paz, thanks for stepping up to the plate. Miguel and Will Foreman, you guys made it happen for our kids and our families and our community. But also, we gave 28 Bibles to people last year that did not have a Bible. We want to continue to put the Word of God in people's hands. I want to thank our worship team for standing in the gap for us every Sunday and leading us to the throne under the leadership of Pastor Alicia and her team that's on the stage and her team that's in the back and up in the loft. You guys lead us to the throne each and every day. And Kevin Davison, your leadership on YouTube, but also now in guiding and directing these online services, can't thank you enough. We have an incredible partnership right now with Mesoamerica and all that God's doing through the Armstrongs and the Fries in that region and through the Center of Missionary Formation. And, as I look at my list here, I see there's just way too much. I know we probably feel like we're drinking out of a fire hose right now, but so much to cover. Just a couple other things. This past year, Liz Minnig and Marley Adams both were able to participate through World Relief to become a certified immigration advocates, immigration supporters. And, you know, we're looking for ways that we can love and serve this vulnerable population in our community. Debbie Myers and her team led Gift of Hope last year. We were able to love and serve families around the Christmas season. You know, as I look at missions, and we talked about Faith Promise last week, David Brooks has stepped in now as our brand new NMI president, taking the place of Franco Lacemeda. Franco, thank you for 2 years of great service for that ministry team. You know, when I think about the teaching aspect, I look at last year and where we've been. You know, we started last year through Lent with the seven words of Jesus from the cross to see how those words might impact us. And then we spent time in the summer with the fruit of the Spirit to see how the Spirit of God might want to be shaping us and refining us. And, you know, one of my favorite series that I've ever preached in my entire life was last fall, Four Who's That Really Matter. We spent time talking about the who of investment, asking the question, who are you investing in and who's investing in you? We spent time talking about this question of who are you fighting for? What calls or demographic are you committing your life to love and support them? Who are you inviting to Jesus? Who's that individual or that family or that group of people that you're intentionally calling out and inviting to Jesus? And then who are we in the process of forgiving? It was in that last sermon that the study, The Bait of Satan, grew out of, where we were able to spend an incredible 5 weeks together, about 35 of us, dealing with what Jesus has to say about the deadly trap of offense and how we respond when we've been offended or we think we've been offended. And so great days right there of people being freed and forgiven and moving forward. And then as we jumped into this calendar year, actually starting with Advent, we launched into year A of the lectionary, and I've invited you to come along with the lectionary readings each week as a way of getting into the Word in a way that the Lord might just be speaking fresh and new in our hearts. And that doesn't even mention a missionary that we sent off to Africa who met his wife on Facebook and they got married, Tom Geyer and Rhonda. Congratulations. It's been a great year. So many things to celebrate, not the least of which we celebrated, you know, the last time we were together. The last time we gathered in this room was the last Sunday before we had lockdown. And I shared with you on that day the fact that our $2.7 million building debt had been paid off. Incredible answer to prayer. And it leaves me speechless. I still can't get my brain wrapped around what it means and what it's going to mean for the days ahead for this church and this community. So much to celebrate. And so today, as we get into the Word, I want to call our attention to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at a pretty familiar passage, is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, and see what the Lord has to say to us. But today, we celebrate the goodness of God in our lives. But we also today want to be reminded of the call that's been placed on us, the great commission that's been placed on us. And so here we go, Acts chapter 2, beginning of verse 42. It'll be on your screen if you don't have your Word with you this morning. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's the word of the Lord, center point. Let's jump into it for a few minutes and see what the Lord has to say to us. I want to start by asking you a question. Did you know that when you devoted your life to Christ, that you simultaneously devoted your life to His followers? Did you know that when you devoted your life to Christ, you simultaneously devoted your life to His followers? And in Acts, that commitment to the people of God, to the followers of Christ, it looks like a number of different things, and they're listed right here by Luke, the writer. He says that when we committed to the body of Christ, we committed to His followers, and here's what we committed to. We committed to the teachings of Jesus. We committed to living life together as the body of Christ. We committed to praying alongside one another. We committed to sacrificing on behalf of one another, especially those in need. And he mentions here in this passage that in the early church, there were those who actually sold property or possessions to ensure that those within the body of Christ had what they needed. But they also committed to regularly meet together for worship and discipleship. Centerpoint, when you devoted your life to Christ, you devoted your life to the followers of Christ. Now here's the problem. Every sermon's got to have a problem, right? Here's the problem. Sometimes our devotion leaks. Sometimes our devotion towards one another, it leaks. And sometimes their devotion towards us leaks. You know, there are times, if we can be honest this morning, there are times in the life of the church where we stray away from the teachings of Jesus and we simply do our own thing, we go our own way. Sometimes in the life of the church, we find ourselves not living in community. We find ourselves isolated, shutting others out. And the problem there is sometimes when we're in isolation and we're shutting others out, we not only shut them out as a person, but we shut out the support and the accountability that they could be bringing into our lives. You see, devotion tends to leak. Sometimes we lose sight of the power of prayer as a church. We start to think we can do things in our own power. And sometimes we lose sight of that dependency upon the Holy Spirit and we fail to make prayer the priority in our lives together. Sometimes we get more concerned as people, even as followers of Jesus, sometimes we get more concerned as people about our own needs and our own wants and our own comforts and our own desires than we do about the needs of those around us. And sometimes we forsake meeting together. Sometimes we forsake coming together to be strengthened by one another in Christian fellowship and through worship. And more often than not, we forsake that coming together because we're off pursuing other interests, other leisure activities, other amusement. And sometimes commitment and devotion, they leak. And when they leak, more often than not, church, we fail each other. Sometimes when we fail each other, it sends us packing, looking for other greener pastures, other better lands, other brighter days, other churches or groups of acceptance where we don't leak, where we don't fail one another. And sometimes when we fail each other, it sends some of us packing. You know, last year, some pretty sobering statistics came out about the city of Orlando. Did you know that Orlando ranks among the highest cities in the nation of de-churched individuals, anywhere in the nation? I mean, scholars are now comparing the city of Orlando to areas of the country like Manhattan or the Northwest in terms of unchurched and de-churched individuals. But the de-churched individual is such a fascinating conversation about where we are today because the de-churched individual is the individual who at one time was part of a church. They were part of a local church body, and for whatever reason today, they are no longer part of a local church body. Now, I don't have all the answers to that, but here's what I know. I know that most folks who leave a local church body, they don't leave the church altogether because the pastor preaches too long, or they don't like the music, or the chairs don't have enough cushions, or, you know, people don't leave the church universal because of specific issues like that. But I'll tell you one reason that people leave the church itself and never return is because devotion leaks, commitment leaks, and when those things leak, we fail each other. And friends, we're here in the city of Orlando. Last year, it's reported that over 684,000 people are de-churched in our city. Those are people who at one time were part of a local church body, but for whatever reason today, they're not. And I have a theory. As believers, it's not uncommon for us to fail each other. And it seems we're especially good at doing that in the city of Orlando. It's not uncommon for us to fail each other, but by the grace of God, Center Point, may we never give up on each other. Center Point, it's not uncommon for us to fail each other, but by the grace of God, may we never give up on each other. You know, the very earliest followers of Christ devoted themselves. You know, when you open up the New Testament and you consider the Greek word there, devoted, it's not really the word devoted as we understand devoted. The word in the Greek New Testament is the word perseverance. Here's a good working biblical definition of perseverance: to give constant attention to a thing or to continue to do something with intense effort despite difficulty. And so it opens up right here. Luke says they devoted themselves. The real wording is they persevered with one another. They gave constant attention to a thing, to themselves, to one another, and they continued to do something even though it required intense effort and it required difficulty. You know, living life together in a community of faith is good work. But if you've been a part of the church for any length of time, you know that it's also difficult work. And it's this good and difficult work that we've been called to as a church. In fact, devotion to those who make up the body of Christ is the precursor to fulfilling the Great Commission. Living life faithfully in the body of Christ is the precursor to fulfilling the Great Commission. And so here's I have this picture in my head. Jesus didn't one day pull aside some fun, cool, extroverted disciple and say, "Hey, come here. I got this thing I want you to do. You know, I want you to go out. You're cool. You know the language. You dress well. You're extroverted. You can talk to anybody. I want you to go out and win the world for me." He didn't do that. When Jesus issued the Great Commission, he gathered all the disciples in. He looked at all of them with all of their idiosyncrasies, their personalities, their quirks, their backgrounds, their sins, their hang-ups, their doubts. And he said to them, "I want you, collective you, to go out and do this thing together. Go together and make disciples. Go together and baptize in my name. Go together and love and serve and teach and proclaim the goodness of God. And know this, I will be with you, collective you, to the very end of the age." And so friends, how you treat one another in a group, understanding that we've been called to go together in a group, how you do or don't love along the way, how you respond to one another in good times, can you be happy for others? In bad times, can you have a solidarity and compassion on others? How we react to one another in life in the body says so much to those that we're trying to reach in the name of Jesus. So Jesus called out his people to proclaim the good news. That's what the church, the word church, the Greek word church, that's what it literally means. It means the called out ones. He's called us out of our old ways of life. He's called us out of our old patterns. He's called us out of our old mindsets to give us fresh new minds so that we might go and proclaim his goodness and we might do it together. And friends, I fear sometimes that the very strength of the testimony of God rests on the weakest point of our love and our devotion and our commitment toward one another. So here in Acts, in response to their perseverance to one another, the Lord saw it and he added to their number daily those who were being saved. We talked about this last week, seed planting as a part of a living life in the kingdom of God. God is the one who brings salvation. We're simply called to follow him, commit to him, commit to one another, and live out the gospel in our world. And so when we look to Acts, we see this idea that the earliest followers of Jesus, they devoted themselves to the teachings of Jesus, living life together as the body, praying alongside one another, sacrificing on behalf of one another, especially for those in need, and meeting regularly for worship and discipleship. And in light of their devotion to one another, what did God do? God added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so here we go. I just a few minutes ago, I read this list of celebrations of things that have gone well for us in the life of the church. And it's a long, long list. God has been on the move over the last year doing incredible things. But I have this list of celebrations of things that God's moving, things that God's doing. But here's the truth. I said this earlier. The last time we were together, we sat right here in this room. Many of you sat out there in the congregation, and I stood up here on the platform, and I announced this idea that we celebrated debt freedom from our mortgage debt to the tune of $2.7 million, a mortgage debt gone. And friends, I can tell you that was an incredible answer to prayer. That was an incredible answer to years of faithfulness and financial stewardship on behalf of our church and our church leaders. But I want to tell you today on this this celebration Sunday, I want to remind us today that the scripture says that there is rejoicing in heaven when one person who's turned their back on God and is walking away from God turns back to Him and starts walking toward Him. Friends, the scripture says there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over any amount of financial debt that could ever be forgiven. There's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous church people who do not need to repent. And so we celebrate this morning incredible ministries and movements of God. We celebrate lists of the names of people who move the ministry needle. We celebrate today dollars that have been correctly and properly directed toward kingdom values. We celebrate, yes, a mortgage that's been forgiven today and is no longer hanging over our heads, and it's not going to hang over the heads of the generations to come. We celebrate all those things today on this Celebration Sunday. But what I want to tell you today is that over the last year, Centerpoint, we saw 25 people commit their lives to Christ. 25 people who accepted Jesus as their Savior and said to Him in a new way, I want to receive the grace and the love and the forgiveness that You have for me, and I want to walk in Your way. And you know what's so cool about that testimony of 25 lives that have been changed over the last year is we've seen this in a plethora of ministries. And as I look at the list, we know that these decisions have been made in worship gatherings, in Sunday school classes, in Bible studies. These decisions have been made at Wednesday night electives. They've been made as the body of Christ. You have gone out and lived missionally in the world. I can even tell you that today, someone accepted Christ in a hot tub this year at a Tribe College ministry event. There's no limit to how and when and where God's at work. And so our devotion to the body of Christ, Centerpoint, is not simply about making sure that no one gets mad and leaves the church, right? Our devotion is not about making people happy and scratching your back so you don't go to some other church. Our devotion to one another is what allows us to get to the place where we might be in a posture to truly proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to others so that they might experience His love and His grace and His mercy. You see, we live in solidarity with one another. We live in devotion with one another. We persevere with one another so that we might be set up to commit to the Great Commission. Unfortunately, there are some crazy statistics out there. The statistics tell us that 93% of Christians today don't feel that it's important to even share their faith. I want to tell you today, Centerpoint, if you know how to make a friend and you know how to be a friend, you know how to introduce someone to Jesus Christ. Centerpoint, every one of us over this next year can reach someone. You know, throughout these 28 days of prayer, there have been several days and several prayers that have just attacked my heart in just major ways, just, just latched onto me and not been able to let me go. But day 15 was an important day. I hope you didn't miss it. Day 15 was the day that we prayed for salvation for family and friends who have not yet come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And our challenge through that time was that you would begin to pray regularly for someone in your life. And friends, I want to tell you this, if you commit to pray regularly for someone, something supernatural starts to happen in your life that you begin to care about them. And so you may start to pray for someone because you care about them, because you love them. But as you commit to praying for that person on a regular basis, on a daily basis, and fervent calling out and crying out to God on their behalf, something supernatural will start to happen in you that you will start to love them and care for them in very tangible ways that you had never known or experienced before. And so on this day of celebration, Centerpoint, I've got to call us back to the Great Commission, and I've got to ask us, what will you have to celebrate this time next year? Do we want to celebrate ministries that are taking place? Absolutely. Do we want to celebrate programs that are making it happen for our people? Absolutely. Do we want to celebrate success for dollar figures because we know it's going to empower us to new levels of ministry? Absolutely. But the truth is this time next year, Centerpoint, what if we could celebrate and proclaim one life that's been redeemed through your going. One life that's been set free because you went out and you were a friend, you made a friend, and you introduced a friend to Jesus. And Centerpoint, here's the truth. If you want to see your church grow, if you want to see Centerpoint have an incredible impact for the kingdom of God in our community, learn how to meet people in times of need and crisis. Enter into that pain with them and bear the love of Jesus into that situation. And in so doing, if you bring the love of Jesus Christ into that situation, your devotion to Him will be evident. Your commitment to the church body will shine, and your light, the light of Christ in you, will begin to light up the darkness in that friend, that family member, that neighbor, that coworker, that stranger, whatever it may look like for you. So many things to celebrate today. But Centerpoint, I sit here this morning and I ask this question, can you imagine what Centerpoint would look like a year from now if we truly devoted ourselves to one another and we committed to see one life redeemed in the name of Jesus Christ? What would Centerpoint look like 1 year from now? If every one of us who call this place home would commit to devoting ourselves to the church body, and we would commit to seeing one life changed, redeemed, saved because of the love of Jesus through us. I believe that a year from now, this would be a much different place. I believe our community would look different. I believe we would be leaving a more significant imprint of the kingdom of God on our community. So we have this testimony from Luke in Acts chapter 2, how the earliest church devoted themselves to one another, not so they could have a holy huddle and a nice little church club, but so that they could be poised and ready to go fulfill the Great Commission. And friends, that's exactly what they did. You and I are living proof of that today. So Centerpoint, may we commit to Him and devote ourselves to one another so that the Lord might add to our numbers daily those who are being saved. Friends, identify your someone and start praying for them every day until they come to find peace and salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the world, thank you for shining your light and your love in our hearts. And God, we want to come before you today and confess that as a people, even as a people who are wanting to faithfully follow after you, God, there's times There are days, there are situations and scenarios where our devotion to one another, it leaks. And God, so often when our devotion leaks, we fail each other. We don't support the way we should. We don't love the way we should. We don't use words the way we should. We withhold. And God, we don't want to be a people like that. We want to be a people that are faithfully persevering with one another. Even though we know that the perseverance of relationship is difficult work, God, it's good work. It's the work you've called us to. Lord, we stand on your word today that says that the world around us will know that we are followers of you because of the love that we have for one another. God, help us to love one another well. And Lord, I pray for Center Point Church today. Lord, truly, so many ways that you've blessed us over the last year. We're so thankful. We're so grateful. We're so honored to be a part of your movement here in this city. But God, we know that greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. And we want to be a part of it. We want to be available to it. We want to be available for it. And God, I pray that our relationships and our lives together as a church body would be the precursor of us going out and fulfilling the Great Commission in this city. So Lord, I pray right now for everybody who's watching online, on Facebook, on YouTube, whenever and however someone may hear the words of this prayer, God, would we identify that person or those people that from this day forward, we're going to pray for them until they come to a saving grace and saving knowledge that can only be found in you. God, I pray that that 1 year from now, as we gather back in as a church for Celebration Sunday, God, that we would celebrate ministries and we would celebrate leaders and we would celebrate financial faithfulness and stewardship, but God, that we would celebrate the lives of people that have discovered new life in you. So God, in whatever ways as a church that maybe we've lost focus, are we focused on the wrong things? God, forgive us, call us to attention, and help us to be about the important work of fulfilling your call to share your good news with our city. And God, in so doing, we will have celebrations not only here at Center Point, we will experience celebration in heaven. And God, that's what we want today. We love you so much. Thank you for all your blessings. God, help us to be a blessing to the world around us. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen.